Hi, and welcome to Season 2 of Big Sound Small Town, the podcast that spotlights the talented and diverse musicians in small towns and communities. This season, we're branching out to include the community of people who make it possible for musicians to be able to perform their music, the producers, the recording engineers, the venue owners, and many others, and as always, the small town musicians. Remember, small town doesn't mean small talent. Hear their stories. Today on Big Sound Small Town, we're self-isolating and doing this interview by phone. This is different than normal. We're calling these the COVID-19 sessions. And today my guest is metal drummer and singer, Al Ford. Welcome to the show, Al.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be on here. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. Now, as people know that follow me, you're the first metal person I've had on here. And talk to me a little bit about the metal scene. You know, is it difficult these days for a metal band to find jobs?
Yes, it is. We do get hired by some of the clubs around here, but most of them want a little more variety than what the majority of my bands and the current two that I'm in, that we're strictly just classic metal. I mean, we can mix a little bit of stuff in, but pretty much what I've always done is just classic metal. Yep. Right. 70s and 80s style classic metal.
And I'm sure that it was easier to work those bands in the 70s and 80s than they are now, right?
Wow, Yeah, I played lots of shows back in the 80s, yes. In fact, there was, you know, times when it was five nights a week. Yeah, and that went for quite a while.
Now, I had a little confusion when we were talking. I had always been under the impression, at least for a number of years, that you were a singer. But now I find out that you are a drummer also.
Yeah, that's right. I was actually lead vocal for probably close to 30 years, and then I took a little break to a few years to raise my daughter, Lacey.
Right.
I raised her away from bands for about 10 to 12 years.
Good move.
But once she moved out and went to college, that's when I got back into it, and that is actually when I bought the kit that I have and started really focusing and getting serious about drumming. Yeah. And it hit me that within 8 months to a year of really working hard on that, I discovered that the lyrics to some of those songs were still in my head. Uh-huh. And I said, I believe I could sing at the same time. So I started working on that. You know, it's a challenge, but
yeah, I was going to ask you about the challenge of that. I mean, I'm a bass player. Singing and playing bass is hard. Drumming and singing would have to be probably harder.
Well, singing is such a standing thing.
Yes,
you really need to be standing to sing correctly most of the time. But so you have to change your breathing techniques and compression and all that quite a bit to change it to where you're sitting and singing those type songs. Yeah,
I think that's something new for everybody that listens. You're the only person I've had go from being a singer to a drummer. I've had singing drummers, but most of them were drummers who sang. So I would think that's a pretty tough transition.
It was a challenge.
Does it cut your power of your vocals, or does it cut your range any?
I think it has depleted some of my range, you know, but a lot of that's just age.
I was going to try to pass on that on you and not put off the age being part of it for you.
Your range dropped a little, it dropped a little for me as I got older, quite a bit, but I've still got a fairly bright voice.
That's good. Yeah. Well, now, did you already have a drumming background?
Actually, my first band, we started when I was 17 in 79. It was four guys that were just best friends, and they decided to form a band. Two of them already knew how to play guitar. One said, I'll play bass.
Yeah.
And the drummer, Kerry Rudisell, he bought a kit, and he and I kind of worked together on learning drumming from that point on,
Okay.
And every drummer I've had taught me a little bit, through the years when I was just singing. And a lot of times the bands that I was in were rehearsing in my studio. On those nights when the band wasn't rehearsing, I had a kit here.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
practice
with.
Of course,
I'd get back there and mess around and learn stuff on my own.
Okay, so you didn't come into it cold. You just didn't wake up one day and go, "Hey, you know, now I'm getting back into music. I'm going to be a drummer."
Not totally. No.
I mean, I have played so many different things in different bands. I don't really know what I am anymore, and most of them didn't really happen.
Great.
It kind of is, but I think I always wound up starting one way and ending up in a band. I start one way and wind up a bass player. What can I say?
Well, bass players are hard to come by, and they're very valuable.
They are, and you can work a lot. And if you're playing, say, another instrument, say I'm a guitarist, I can find another guitarist easier than I can find a bass player.
Yes, I can vouch for that.
In fact, even easier than you can find a bad bass player. You start like your music life changes a lot. Well, now
mine definitely has.
Well, now listen, have you always? When did metal become a thing for you?
Uh, around 16, 17.
That's what you before were listening that, to, I guess, at the time, right?
I'm sorry?
That's what you were listening to at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And before that, my singing started as a kid in the church choir. I was raised a minister's son. My dad is Bill Ford, and he was the minister at Union Baptist Church, where I still go. And
sure.
Have been a very active member at that church for my whole life, basically. But I started in the choir then as a child, and sang that way through my childhood. And then when I got about 17, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to start my first band. My buddies wanted to too, so we got that one going. Yeah, that was the first one, and I've kind of stuck with that style the entire time.
Yeah,
other than doing gospel stuff at my church.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that the two really doesn't cross up much. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, I've seen the praise bands that are basically metal bands, but as far as the real deal, pretty much they're two separate deals.
Well, there's a few, you know, Striper. And
well, yeah,
those
yeah, that's type. True.
There's a few of those. Yeah,
yeah, there are. Yeah, there are, and there has been, but church is a good place to learn to sing.
Yes, it definitely was. Yeah.
You know, that's another. There again, here's another place that you're an anomaly at is the fact that I've had plenty of people get their start in church, but none of them are metal players. So,
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, the fact that the two can and has always coexisted for you is that's just a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you. And the style, another weird twist about that, what you're talking about there, is I've always leaned toward the operatic style vocal,
right?
And that doesn't really go along with the Southern gospel thing either.
No.
But I've been able to apply it to a lot of my solos that I do at church and weddings and funerals and baby dedications and
right.
So forth. I've been able to apply that operatic style to a lot of that.
Okay, yeah, let's touch on that. You also do some of that stuff outside of playing in a band too. I mean, weddings, funerals. That's you know, that's a good thing too.
I did that a lot until I got the current job that I have now, and now I'm so busy
right.
with my work and the two rock bands
yeah.
that I'm in.
Go ahead and talk.
I haven't been able to do many of those lately.
All right, bring us up to speed on the two bands you're in now. I don't care which one you start with. They'd like to hear about both of them.
The band that I've been playing live with around here in the last 4 or 5 years now is Steel Heroes. That is myself on vocal and drums, Freddie Brackett on lead vocal, Steve O'Dell on all guitar, and Luke Edwards on bass. Luke is our founding bass player. He was with us when we started that band, and he bowed out after about a year and a half, 2 years, because Grassabilly's was getting so he's getting so much work he didn't have time, and we understood. We wished him well, you know.
Right.
We're great friends, so he went on to do that, and we got Steve's brother Colden to fill in for about a year, and then Jamie Scruggs filled in a little while as well, and now Luke has rejoined again, and he's back with us again. It looks like we're going to at least be able to do a few shows a year with Luke.
That's good. That's a really good thing.
The other band
yeah.
is nameless right now. We have not chosen a name, but that band currently is myself, drums and vocal. It's a trio.
Right.
Mark White on all guitars and vocal, and Paul Beatty from Statesville area on bass and vocal.
So we got three vocalists in this band.
Yes, everybody sings. I think I've got the majority of it, probably 65-75% of it is me.
Right.
But Paul is singing quite a bit himself, and Mark has got a great voice too.
That's good. That's really good. All right, now, how did you get to this point? I mean, step me through the band, some of the bands over the years, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay. My first band was called Night Lord, and that was, I mentioned Kerry a little while ago. That was myself on Just Vocal. Kerry was the drummer. Kerry Rudisell. His brother Nick Rudisell was all guitar, and the bass player was Tim Oliver. And both Nick and Tim have passed on. Tim just passed away about 3 weeks ago. And
that's such a lot.
Yeah, I miss him so bad. Miss Nick too. We were all like brothers. We grew up together, basically. That band lasted from, we started it in late 79, and it ended in close to 82. Around in there, and that after that, my next band that anyone would know of would have been Minotaur, which would have been myself, Art Mooney on bass, and Paul Mooney on guitar. Kerry Rudisell was the drummer of that one as well. Kerry stayed with it about a year and a half, and then we wound up with another drummer named Steve Fowler, out of I think Steve is out of Mooresville.
He was
something else. Steve was, he was the first drummer I ever had that had double bass. Kerry always single bass, and Steve had a huge Ludwig double bass kit. In fact, it's still the biggest kit that any drummer I've ever had, and it's bigger than the one I use now. I like quite a good sized kit myself, and like a lot of versatility, lots of different sounds, but Steve's put mine to shame. It was gigantic. And I learned a lot from that guy. And then that was Minotaur. And then after Minotaur is when I got hooked up with Rick DeLozier. Yeah. And he and I went through about three different bands for about 5 or 6 years straight.
Right.
You want to stop there? Or continue?
We can continue.
Okay. After the bands with Rick, well, let me tell you which ones they were. The first one was called Phantom's Rage, and then the second one was DeLozier.
Right.
And that band there, it was in 86, and we played so many shows. It was crazy. We went on the road. We all quit our jobs and went on the road and played five nights a week for 4 or 5 months straight. It was insane.
Oh yeah.
And then after that band broke up in early 87, I believe, we took a few weeks break, and Rick called me and said, Al, what are you doing? And I had already formed another band, and we were already playing out live. In fact, that band was called Poltergeist.
Okay.
And that we actually opened for Johnny Van Zant during that.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
But then he called me one night and said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I've got this little thing going, and it's going really well with these guys in Poltergeist. And he said, well, I'm going to record a full album. I want to do a studio album, and I want you to sing. And I said, well, I'm in.
Yeah.
I love Rick. He was, such a genius. Yeah. And I said, yeah, I'm going to take that. And so I told those guys, look, Rick has offered me this studio recording gig, and I'm sure we'll play some shows. I'm going to do that. And that was when Ichabod Crane was formed. And that was myself on lead vocal, Stevie Umphress on drums, Terry Armour on bass, and the legend Rick DeLozier on guitar.
I remember that band.
From there, I joined a band out of Hickory after Ichabod Crane fell apart. I wound up in a band out of Hickory. They hired me. I'm sure you've heard of them too. Kid Stuff.
Oh yeah.
That was Terry Hilton and Alan and Steve Shuffler, and you may know Nathan Childers. He lives in Shelby as well now.
I knew the Shufflers. I know
Nathan
the Shufflers.
Was the bass player. Alan and Terry were the guitarists, and the drummer was Steve, Alan's brother. Yeah, and we played a lot of shows too. In fact, we wound up opening for some pretty big acts up there. In the Hickory, Lenore area, I bet we played 150 shows or something within about a year and a half. That's crazy.
Great. That's really good. Oh, yeah. That's really good.
after that, I got in a band with Roger Padgett and Scott Loveless and Joey Bridges on drums. Roger and Scott were the guitarists.
Right.
The bass player was Nathan again, Nathan Childers, and that band was called Dagger's Edge.
Yep.
It lasted about a year, and we did some pretty good, big, pretty good shows around here.
Right.
After that one, the kid stuff and Dagger's Edge bands were more of a, I mean, we did a lot of metal, but we were really more of a hard rock band.
Right.
We did more of the FM sounding metal songs, you know.
Yeah, that stands to reason with Roger.
Yeah. Hair metal. We were doing right. some of that, but of course, I'm not going to be in a band if we're not doing some, at least some Judas Priest,
right.
Scorpions, yeah. something, you know. Anyway, after a period with kid stuff and Dagger's Edge, I decided to go back to my main roots again, classic metal.
Right.
I formed a new band with some guys out of Spartanburg, an incredible drummer named Brett Good. Brett is something else. He was really, really good. And the guitarist was Huey Elliott, and the bass player was Mario Giratano. And we never played anything live because we were planning on recording an album again as well.
Right.
So we focused on that. We were building up a big list to play live at
right.
that point, but we never got to a show because Huey had a change in his life and had to move to Nashville, and that ended that band. So I immediately formed another band with a few guys around here, and that band played quite a few shows as well. It was called Veil of Tears. That was Steve Austin on drums, Kevin Lawson on guitar, Jamie Scruggs on bass, yeah. and myself as lead vocal.
Well, obviously, metal vocalists have no trouble finding jobs.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those around.
Really?
And always have been.
Really?
But after that band there, that's when I gave up bands for a while. Because by then, Lacey, my daughter, was around 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't keep doing bands on weekends and so forth, raising a child. I was raising her by myself.
I understand.
So that's when I just started doing going back to my gospel stuff and doing the funerals and baby dedications and weddings and solos at church. And I actually became the, for a few years during that period, I was the evening music director at
right.
Union Church for a while during that period too.
Well, that's good. I mean, I kind of took myself away from the scene when I had a daughter that was approaching. Well, I did mine. I guess my break came when she was in middle school to high school, and I think it's a good thing. I think it paid off. You know.
You know. Well, were you raising the child by yourself?
No, I was not. So, but still, it's you know, your
that makes a big difference. You got some help, but you know,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but you're still gone a lot. If it's a pretty good working band, you're gone a lot. So
that's right. You definitely are.
And you kind of need to be there during those formative years.
Yeah, yeah. So. I treasure those memories raising her.
I understand, and I applaud you for taking that time off. That's the that's the right way to do. Much as
thank you,
you love
very proud of her.
Well, you should be.
She got a radiology degree, so she did better than I did.
Yeah, that's
makes me very proud.
I do understand that, and you know, I think so many times people put their art before their family sometimes, and I think that's a.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, it does, and I applaud you for doing that.
Thank
because
you.
Obviously
Thank
you love
you.
The music. You're back at it, and so it's a gift of love to your family, I think, when you do that.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. By the time Lacey graduated high school, she was ready to move out and get into college, and she did that very quickly, and that's when I bought that first set of drums that I still have. the sonars that I still play.
Right.
And that's when I really started focusing and buckling down on drumming, and it eventually molded back into vocal at the same time, simultaneously.
That one, I'm sure too. That was, I guess you had to take a little while to get yourself back into it. The work those two together, didn't you?
Yeah, that did take quite a bit of work, and it was quite a challenge. Yeah. But as I learned as a drummer and got to where I could do certain things, got to certain points that I wanted to get to, and got to certain goals that I wanted to be able to reach, as far as of course meter,
right, being, of course,
being the most important thing is the meter and the timing, and which I still have struggled with that, but I think I've definitely gotten better at it.
All drummers struggle with that.
Yeah, nobody's perfect.
No.
But as I was learning all that, it hit me that the lyrics were still there in my head, and I thought, well, if I had a mic right at my mouth, maybe I could do both, and started working out on that, and got to where I could, you know, got to where I could sing whole songs while playing them, as long as the drumming wasn't too extravagant,
right,
and didn't take too much wind.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess you do have to pick songs differently as a drummer than you did as a frontman singer.
Absolutely. Yeah. It cuts a lot of possibilities songs that I definitely can sing standing. You know, you,
right.
Some of them you're not going to be able to sing sitting there flailing your arms around.
Yeah, I agree.
Like you're running in place doing double bass.
And if you do, you're probably not going to do the song justice, probably.
Yes. Yeah, that can happen as well. Yeah.
Because
I've learned that the hard way, Sandy.
Oh, I think we've all kind of learned that over the years. You know, it's
one
of those things that as long as you continue to learn, there's no shame in that either. So,
and I definitely will. Thank you.
And so that's, you know, that is a really interesting part of it. So for my fans listening, is metal as crazy as it has always been portrayed to be?
Yes. Yes, I've seen things that when I was a teenager thinking I wanted to do that, you know,
yep.
I want to be in a metal band and that's what I'm going to do. I knew I'd see crazy things, but I saw crazier stuff than I even imagined out there in those clubs doing those, especially in the 86 when I was touring with Delosier, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy, crazy days back then. Yeah. It really, the 80s was crazy.
Well, I want people to know that.
We have fun.
That's what I want people to know, that, hey, guess what? That's the truth. It really was crazy, you know.
It was crazy, but it was so fun.
Has it changed?
And really, back then, a metal band, you know, let alone any of these other more acceptable genres,
right?
Even a metal band could do pretty well because there wasn't a band on every corner.
True.
Back then.
That's true.
You know, you could get gigs. You could get a booking agent that would book you everywhere if you had what they wanted.
Right.
But nowadays, wow, there's so much competition, so many bands that will play for nothing.
Oh,
you know, paying gigs has become, you know, that's a challenge, and it's a treasure when you find it.
Well, you know, this I see still to this day there's a lot of clubs in the big city that there's bands, if you want to play those clubs, you have to pay, or you have to bring a crowd in that is, and if you don't bring in a big enough crowd, you have to ante up the difference. So I mean,
that's right. Yeah.
And
that's the way it definitely is now. Yeah. And that's great, the way it's got to be. It's the way it's got to be, because that's the way the business is running now, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
so much competition.
It is. And when you find the good paying jobs, you really fight hard to hold on to them.
Well, as far as that goes, though, the subject of pay.
Yes.
I have never, ever cared about how much money I made at it, as long as I stayed afloat. But that's why I stuck with metal, because I enjoyed it so much. It was so much fun for me that was my gratification out of it was the fun, you know, and enjoying the smiling faces and seeing people singing along with me and so forth. That was what I was after, whether I got, you know, $100 that night to take home
sure.
or not.
I mean,
whatever.
I think I
still like that.
If you get into the music business expecting to make a lot of money, you're going to be disappointed, and I'm glad
nowadays,
you brought that up.
Yeah, you've got a big shot coming nowadays if you think that's going to happen, yeah.
Oh, and these days, if you think you're going to sell many records and make money on it. Let's see, one of my last royalty checks was 13 cents, you know? So, I mean, you know, the days of the big royalty checks from your records are gone, too, so.
Yeah, the digital age, my friend.
Yep.
Digital.
Yep. And the thing is, you're a slave to it, because if your stuff's not on Spotify, iTunes, no one knows who you are. And
that's right.
So, I mean, it's like feeding a dog that bites you. You got to feed it, even though you know it's going to bite you now and then. But I mean, if you got those, if your aspirations is to make money, there's a lot easier ways and a lot more lucrative ways to do it than playing music.
Yeah, you're pretty much in the wrong business.
Yeah, you are. I mean, my favorite thing, you've heard it a million times, is musicians are the only people that load up $10,000 worth of equipment in a $1,000 car, drive 500 miles to make $100. I mean.
Yes, I have.
And I have,
and
too.
And I've done that.
and if you say that that's never happened with you, I don't really consider you a musician.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I mean, if you've never eaten in a Waffle House, don't really go tell me you know about the road and know about playing jobs around, because nah.
Oh yeah.
So
and going to the convenience store close to the hotel to just grab a bunch of sandwich
sure.
meat and a loaf of bread, a few other things that y'all could take back to the hotel and have something to eat.
I'll give you, and I'll put it on the air because Art knows it's true, speaking of something like that. I played in a band with Art Mooney. One night we were all coming back from a job and stopped at a convenience store to get something to eat. And then we drove off and left Art. You know, the band got in and we'd gone, I don't know, 10 miles down the road. Well, we realize Art's not there, so we turn around and go back to get him. And when we get back to get him, there's a motorcycle gang in there kind of harassing him. And, you know, we get him out of there and going away. But people miss stuff like that if you're not in a band. I mean,
that's right.
You know,
yeah, there's all kind of activities and strange happenings.
I mean, you know, and at that same time, I had a guitar fall off the top of a van actually it fell off of a trailer we pulled, and when I got to looking for it, I couldn't find it. But then the next day, someone that I did not know, had no idea how they knew where I worked, brought me the guitar. It fallen off the top of the trailer, and they'd seen it and found out.
I got to ask, what kind of guitar was this?
This was a Fender Stratocaster, a 1960 Fender Stratocaster.
Damage?
Yeah, I know. No,
was
no.
There damage?
No, not damaged at all. Good old Fender hard shell case, I guess.
Yeah. Quality, man. That's the quality that saved that thing.
I don't even think it was out of tune. You know, it's stuff like that is another thing people miss. I mean, you know, and the stories you get, you can't, and I'm sure metal stories are better than other stories, so.
I guess it could be. I'm sure some of these guys in the bluegrass bands around here can tell some stuff, too.
Well, yeah, they got some stories, and actually, there's a lot of gospel singer stories, too, so.
I'm sure.
It's music, you know, it just.
That's right.
It brings stories out. It comes with the job, I think.
And brings crazy people out.
It does bring
crazy. And there's more crazy people now than there's ever been.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Now, it's a, It's a crazy, crazy world we live in.
It's a crazy world, Sandy.
But it's, you know, it's I hope I get to live in it though a good bit longer.
I hope you do too. So, I'd like to be here around for a while myself.
Well, you know, I would get you.
I have a new wife. I just got married, Alicia Ford. We got married almost 2 years ago, and I'd like to have several years with Alicia.
And I would like for you to have several years with her too. You know, it's we don't have anything we can plug for you. You know, I mean, we're in this time where nobody's playing.
There's no gigs right now.
No, I mean,
nowhere.
I've seen the live streaming, and I think people are wanting to do that. And I think in haste, I've seen some really bad ones that maybe it's better just to lay low and wait for it to come back rather than.
I could plug a couple of videos on YouTube.
That would be good. Please do.
Recordings.
Sure.
Some of my favorites of my latest band, Steel Heroes.
Sure.
If you wanted to go to YouTube and look at Steel Heroes, let's see. Mob Rules.
Yeah.
Or let's see. Sad But True. That's a Metallica song.
Right.
Flight of Icarus.
Okay.
From the Don Gibson Theater when we opened for Air Force out of London.
Right.
Those are some really good friends of ours. And that the drummer of Air Force is Doug Sampson, the original drummer, the original recording drummer in Iron Maiden. Doug and I are really good friends, and I've become really close friends with Tony Hatton and Chuck Pittman and even Giannini. Those guys are Air Force. Even is not with them currently. He has a new band called Vision Divine. He's Italian.
Right.
And that band is out of Italy. And his drummer is Mike Tirana. Some of the people listening may know exactly who that is. That guy's a monster drummer. But we opened for them at the Don Gibson, and those recordings are on YouTube.
Okay,
those
that's
songs.
Good. That's really good.
And there is a couple of Ichabod Crane songs on YouTube. That's me, Steve Yumphress, Terry Armour, and Rick DeLozier. Those two are,
would that be under
Search and Destroy,
okay,
and Like an Eagle.
Okay.
Those are the two songs by Ichabod Crane.
Okay.
On there.
Well, see, we did get some stuff for you to promote you, so that's good.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, now, I do take the time. I'm glad that you took the time to do this. I know you're busy. You're still working. And
yes, sir.
Are you able to stay safe at your job?
Yes, sir. I've got an office in a basement, and I'm coming in and clocking in and being there a couple hours. Then I work from home the majority of the day, and then go back in to clock out. But that may change if it gets any worse. I've got permission to work at home, but a lot of the stuff I need to be at my desk,
right,
and my computer to do.
Yeah.
But thank you for asking. Right now, I'm staying very much to myself. Alicia and I are staying home.
That's good. That's what you're supposed to do. I think it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, we definitely are.
If you're listening and this airs during this time, please stay home. It's for everyone, not just yourself. You're doing that for. You're doing that for your fellow man.
And yes, I'm praying for everyone.
Yes.
During this. Praying for the whole species of human on the planet.
Amen to that, brother. So.
Thank you.
I do, again, appreciate you coming to be my guest, and thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you very much. I'm honored.
All right. Thanks. Oh, hang on.